13-year-old Virgil Smith didn't reach for his phone when Hurricane Harvey's floodwaters swept through Houston in 2017. He grabbed an inflatable mattress and started paddling toward trapped neighbors. By day's end, this teenager had pulled 17 people to safety. No viral video, no Instagram story, just quiet heroism. While adults scroll through headlines lamenting kids these days, Virgil's story whispers a different truth. Generation Z isn't broken. They're just growing up in a world we've never seen before, and we're using yesterday's playbook to lead tomorrow's adults. This generation lives at the intersection of extraordinary empowerment and crippling anxiety. They've never known life without smartphones, yet they're more private than millennials who overshared their way through adolescence. They want to change the world, but struggle to change their bedsheets. They're cognitively advanced, yet emotionally behind. Independent, yet tethered to parents well into their 20s. Understanding these paradoxes isn't just academic, it's urgent, because how we lead them today determines whether they become the Virgils who rescue communities or the casualties who need rescuing themselves. Something shifted in the 1980s. When 7 people died from poisoned Tylenol, we learned products could kill us. When John Walsh's son, Adam, was kidnapped and murdered, missing children's faces appeared on milk cartons nationwide. These weren't overreactions. They were appropriate responses to real tragedies. But collectively, they rewired how we parent. Fear became our default setting. Today, 79% of Americans fear the world we're leaving young people. We worry about smartphone addiction, mental health crises, school shootings, and substance abuse. Nearly 2/3 doubt whether kids can overcome obstacles. This fear drives us to control everything: schedules, friendships, college applications, even recess. One New York middle school banned footballs, baseballs, and tag, replacing them with Nerf balls to prevent injuries. Here's the devastating irony. When adults seize control out of fear, kids feel out of control of their futures. This creates what psychologists call an external locus of control, the belief that outside forces determine your destiny. And people with external orientations suffer higher rates of anxiety and depression. We're creating the very problems we're trying to prevent. Meanwhile, expectations shape reality more than we realize. When researchers told teachers certain students were gifted, though they were randomly selected, those students' IQ scores jumped dramatically. 80% gained at least 10 points. The rats labeled genius outperformed dummy rats in mazes, despite being identical. Whether we approach Generation Z with fear or hope, they already sense it, and that attitude becomes their ceiling. Unlike millennials who were guinea pigs for social media, Generation Z learned from their predecessors' mistakes. They're more private, using vanishing messages and fake profiles. They're more anxious, with no escape from global tragedies streaming into their pockets. They're restless, with fluid identities shaped by algorithms. They're tech savvy, averaging 9 hours daily across 5 screens. They're more nurtured by snowplow parents who clear every obstacle. They're entrepreneurial, with 72% wanting to start businesses rather than climb corporate ladders. And they're redemptive, more inclusive and equality-focused than any generation before. But they're living a contradiction, the extinction of childlikeness alongside the extension of childishness. They lose innocence early through unfiltered information, yet delay adult responsibilities indefinitely. University deans now say 26 is the new 18. High school seniors working for pay dropped from 76% to 50%. Teen employment collapsed from 60% in 1979 to 34% in 2015. This isn't laziness, it's adaptation. When school shootings became routine, students revealed 4 leadership traits. They sacrificed for others, took initiative without instruction, valued justice over safety, and mentally prepared for crisis. Yet they're operating in an artificial world of virtual relationships and supervised experiences with no real stakes. We've given them information without wisdom, empowerment without responsibility. Over 3 decades, American parenting has become increasingly directive. With fewer children per family, we've packed schedules with college prep activities. Between 1981 and 1997, children's free time plummeted, while homework time rose 145%. This overprescription steals crucial development opportunities. Psychologists identify risk deprivation syndrome, the developmental damage from never navigating scary situations. Without practice handling risk, students take a passive approach to life. The solution isn't abandoning guidance, it's shifting from prescriptive to descriptive leadership. Instead of providing exact steps, describe the goal and let learners determine their path. Dr. Uduak Afangide transformed her biology classroom by involving students in creating their syllabus, keeping only non-negotiable requirements while letting them determine content and assessment. Remember the toothpaste factory shipping empty boxes? A young employee solved it with a $20 fan. True ingenuity emerges when leaders invite problem-solving rather than dictating solutions. Modern conveniences create a toxic framework. Speed teaches that slow is bad. Convenience teaches that hard is bad. Entertainment teaches that boring is bad. As entitlement rises, resilience falls. When we give children every advantage, they often feel immense pressure not to disappoint. Unlimited access without boundaries creates appetites without guardrails, producing Generation OD, overdiagnosed, on demand, openly divergent, overly distracted, and overdosed. Mental health issues among teens have reached epidemic proportions, with anxiety affecting nearly one-third of adolescents. Since 2012, anxiety and depression have risen sharply. 3 million teens experienced major depression in 2015, with 2 million reporting impaired daily functioning. Research reveals a dramatic shift toward external locus of control. The average youth in 2002 was more externally focused than 80% of young people from the 1960s, believing outside forces control their destiny. 4 proven strategies combat this epidemic: margin, mindfulness, moving, and management. Creating margin, intentional space in schedules, is the quickest remedy. Schools like Orange Lutheran High School implemented ROM, Revitalize on a Monday, giving students structured downtime. Mindfulness offers a powerful antidote to shallow, unfocused multitasking culture. Physical activity stimulates dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin release, naturally balancing stress hormones. The key insight: anxiety isn't just a mental health issue, it's a lifestyle issue. When schedules have no breathing room and performance pressure never relents, anxiety becomes a rational response to an irrational pace. The solution requires systemic changes in how we structure their days, not just individual coping mechanisms. Generation Z faces a crisis of perspective. Their digital experiences are completely customized, creating self-centered worldviews where achievement is measured through Snapchat streaks or YouTube views. Today's teens exhibit ego-centralization, defining themselves through personal achievements rather than family history or community affiliations that shaped previous generations. When Francis Perkins witnessed 146 people die in the 1911 Garment District fire, she transformed her purpose from self-interest to serving others, becoming America's first female labor secretary and creating minimum wage laws, social security, and child labor reforms. David Brooks identifies our dual nature, pursuing resume virtues, accomplishments, wealth, versus eulogy virtues, character, relationships. While most acknowledge eulogy virtues matter more, social media celebrates resume virtues. To help Generation Z develop we thinking, have them write down values to find common ground, identify injustices they're passionate about, practice asking good questions, and find shared values with different people. The shift from self-focus to others' focus requires intentional experiences that challenge their algorithm-driven worldview. Since 1979, I've observed 6 experiences that effectively mature young people into capable adults. First, they need to do something scary. Stepping outside comfort zones awakens senses and accelerates growth. Second, they should meet someone influential, challenging them to prepare questions and overcome social intimidation. Third, they need to travel someplace different, preventing cruise control living. Fourth, they should chase a meaningful goal with high stakes under their own control. Fifth, they must wait and work for something they want. Patience and work ethic signal maturity. Finally, they need to practice new habits, adopting daily routines that prepare them for their futures while stopping unproductive ones. Previous generations stumbled into these experiences naturally. Summer jobs taught patience. Travel happened out of necessity. Goals carried real consequences. Today's generation lives in carefully controlled environments where these growth experiences have been systematically removed. We've optimized for college admission and minimized character development, producing young adults who excel at standardized tests but struggle with unstandardized life. To effectively lead Generation Z, make four key shifts. Move from hero to guide, support issues that matter to teens, present real-world challenges, and utilize their familiar platforms. The Pygmalion effect demonstrates how expectations shape outcomes. When teachers believed certain students were high achievers, those students performed better. Students perceive subtle signals that we wish we were teaching different kids, experiencing this as rejection. Embody five essential qualities: be responsive, inclusive, adaptive, supportive, and provocative. Too many educators migrate from quarterbacks who move the ball forward to referees who look for fouls. Like the old man in The Bridge Builder who constructs a crossing he'll never use again, we're building for the youth who follow. When questioned why, he replied that a youth would follow his path the next day, one who might not survive without help. Remember the nobility of this work. These students need your hard-won wisdom, your pre-smartphone perspective, your patience when they stumble, your belief when they doubt themselves, your guidance through waters you've already crossed. You're building bridges between generations, between who they are and who they could become, between the world as it is and the world as it should be.